This is a recording of the audit hearing held by the Federal Election Commission on June 16, 2010. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. The audit hearing for the Georgia Federal Elections Committee will now come to order. Representing the committee is Joe Sandler from the law firm of Sandler, Reif & Young. This hearing is conducted pursuant to the audit hearing policy that the commission adopted last year. The hearing may last up to an hour. Mr. Sandler, you may make a brief opening statement of up to 15 minutes if you wish to do so. Following your presentation, the commissioners, the general counsel, and the staff director will have the opportunity to ask questions that they may have. And then if you would like to reserve time to make a closing statement at the end of the hearing, you may do so. Because this hearing is being held in open session, there will not be a written transcript provided. However, the audio recordings will be made of this hearing in accordance with the commission's current practice and placed on the FEC website. So good morning to you, Mr. Sandler. And when you're ready, please proceed with your opening statement.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. We appreciate the opportunity on behalf of the Georgia Democratic Party to appear before you today to address the final audit report. With me is Paul Hufftailing, the head of political CFOs. His firm provides accounting and compliance services to this state party and did so during the period that was subject to the audit. There's only one disputed issue remaining in the final audit report, and it is a very discrete issue arising from the fact that the state party's payroll company required that only one bank account could be debited in order for that company to issue payroll checks, which is not uncommon requirement for payroll companies because they have to have the funds and ready funds in order to issue payroll. Obviously, payroll doesn't work, you know, in the private sector. No payroll company will issue payroll checks and then allow the employer to reimburse them. The funds have to be there in advance, and it has to be, in many cases, in one account. In order to accommodate that requirement, the state party set up a transmittal account solely for the purpose of collecting payroll funds in one account so that the payroll company could debit that one account and issue checks to the employees. At the time, during the time and, of course, now, there were three types of payments made to this account representing the three types of salary payments that are allowed under the Commission's rules as they were changed at the end of 2005. And we've distributed a chart exhibit that I believe has been distributed to the Commissioners, and we would respectfully request be made part of the record. The three types of payments, first, for employees that worked in any given month more than 25% of their time on federal election activity or activity in connection with federal elections, of course, their salary had to be paid 100% federal funds, and funds were transferred from the federal account to the payroll account representing that payment. An employee who was working less than 25% of the time on federal election activity and activities in connection with federal elections, but more than 0% under the Commission's rules, of course, their salary was allocated, partly federal, partly non-federal. That allocation was made strictly in accordance with the Commission's regulations, in that the non-federal account reimbursed, or within the relevant time periods advanced, to the federal account, the account that was reported to the Commission, the allocable non-federal share. Let me repeat that because that's really the critical point at issue here. The only allocation that was made, that is a transfer from a federal to a non-federal to a federal account to pay for an expense that represented both kinds of funds, was made from the non-federal account to the federal account, the one that was reported to the Commission. After that, funds were transferred from the federal account to the payroll account, again, solely for the purpose of collecting them in one account. And then, for those employees who worked 0% of their time on federal election activity, solely on, principally, I guess, on state legislative races, their salaries were to be paid and still are to be paid 100% out of the non-federal account. And for those payments, the funds for those payments were transferred directly from the non-federal account to the payroll account. And that's no different than if a check had been cut directly from the non-federal account to the directly to the employee. In that situation, of course, the transfer, the payment from the non-federal account to the employee wouldn't be reported to the commission because except insofar as it is used for allocable expenses, the non-federal account is not otherwise subject to the commission's jurisdiction or otherwise reportable under the commission's rules. So, in fact, not only is it not required to be reported to the commission, it's prohibited, as mentioned, as the general counsel acknowledges in their memo. So in these circumstances, we believe it's clear that the payroll account was not an allocation account under the commission's rules and was not an account from which activity could have or should have been reported. In its memo, the Office of General Counsel says that this payroll account was a, quote, functional equivalent of an allocation account. We are not, you know, clear what that language means in this context. Obviously, it's an expression we're all familiar with from the Supreme Court case dealing with independent expenditures. But all you have to do is look at the plain language of the regulations. An allocation account under Section 106.7F transfers can be made solely to meet allocable expenses under this section, and that, you know, was done as required on the commission's rules under the federal account. By definition, the payroll account was not used to meet any allocated expenses and could not be considered an allocation account. Any allocation had already taken place, as you can see in this chart, from the non-federal account to the federal account before any transfer was made in turn to the payroll account. Furthermore, it could not, by definition, be considered an account subject to the commission's jurisdiction because it also had to be used for the payroll salary payments that were 100% non-federal, which accounted for a substantial portion of the payroll at issue here. The Office of General Counsel essentially concedes at page 4 that the committee is correct, Georgia Democratic Party is correct, that the payroll account at issue here was unlike an ordinary allocation account in that it contained non-federal funds to be used for the payment of non-allocable 100% non-federal expenses. And under Section 102.5A of the Commission's rules, it's prohibited to run a 100% non-federal payment through a federal account, through an account that's subject to the commission's jurisdiction. Just to cite the relevant language from Section 102.5A, no transfers may be made to such federal account from any other account maintained by such organization's political committee except as provided under the allocation regulations. And that's the language I think the Office of General Counsel was referring to. So the bottom line is once federal funds have been transferred, properly reported, there's nothing left to report, even though it may, for those funds, for some reason, may go to another account. We would analogize this to a situation that actually does occur with media consultants. Media consultants maintain escrow accounts because when a party committee buys time on television or radio, the funds have to be advanced, have to be paid up front, and the media firm takes the money in advance and then transfers it in turn to the television, radio stations, or cable systems. If a state party were to transfer 100% federal money, federal advertisement, to that media consultant's escrow account to pay for, say, coordinated expenditure ads for federal candidates or independent expenditures, and then separately paid non-federal in funds in that account to pay for an advertisement for a statewide or state or elected candidate, The fact that there was federal and non-federal funds mixed in that escrow account obviously would not turn that account into one that is subject to the commission's jurisdiction and that is, you know, a federal account under the commission's rules. It's that the money's already gone. It's already been reported. It's already been allocated properly. It winds up in another account, in this case the vendor's account, that's clearly not subject to the jurisdiction. And we submit the fact that the account's owned by the state party for administrative convenience doesn't change the situation and the conclusion that would necessarily be reached in that analogous situation. So for these reasons, Mr. Chairman, we respectfully request that the remaining finding in the final audit report be rejected by the commission. Thank you very much, and I'm happy to entertain any questions that the commissioners and staff may have.
Thank you for that presentation, Mr. Sandler. Any questions from any of my colleagues? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as I understand it, what you're saying is that this payroll account is something that is just not addressed or contemplated by our regulations. It's some other thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. It's not an account that's within the commission's jurisdiction because the funds, the payments made have already been made out of the proper accounts that are subject to the commission's jurisdiction, already properly accounted for and reported.
And the fact that they then go through this other account is just kind of irrelevant from the
purposes? Irrelevant. It's as if the checks were issued and they're sitting in somebody's desk drawer and there's some federal, there's some non-federal, and they're mixed together. It's not, the desk drawer doesn't become subject to the commission's jurisdiction. That's how we would look at it.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understood the argument. Thanks.
Commissioner Walther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as I understand it, then the only account that you believe you have to report on would be what you call the federal account.
Exactly, including transfers from the non-federal account
to make the allocation.
Exactly.
So it becomes kind of a mix between the two, and that's the one that you've been reporting.
Correct. And there's no issue.
And audit says that that doesn't work because you have to report the non-federal portion of the non-federal account.
Excuse me?
I mean, as I understand it, audit says you have to report the non-federal portion of the non-federal account, the portion in the non-federal account that doesn't go to the federal account.
Right. The
because
portion
it,
of the
because,
non...
Because you have two accounts, and you report only one account, and the one account that you don't report is the one that the part of the transfer goes to the federal account, the other part goes to the 100% non-federal, or which I guess you'd call the payroll account. There's no account that holds just total non-federal funds. Well, I guess...
Well, the non-federal account holds total non-federal funds. And in the normal situation, if you didn't have a payroll account, those expenses which under the commission's rules can be paid 100% non-federal, and that includes under Part 106 the salary payments for employees that work 0% of their time in any given month on federal election activity and activities in connection with a federal election. Those payments would be made directly from the non-federal account. Say if there were no payroll account, a salary check would be cut directly from that non-federal account and would not be reported to the commission or required to be reported.
And the payroll account, is that actually under the control of the vendor? I mean, when they pay it?
No.
Or no, it's still under the control of the committee.
Party, right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any further questions? Commissioner McGann.
Without getting into details of your other clients, more just a general experience, the idea of an escrow account or a holding account, in your experience, how common is that among political parties? You alluded to and used the example of a media account, used them for postal accounts, payroll.
Right.
Are there situations where maybe the vendor also has signature authority, so the control has gone away? Is this a one-time thing, or is this a common practice?
I don't know how common the practice is for payroll accounts. You have a sense of that in terms of?
Well, I think from my experience, it's pretty common. Speaking to counterparts, you know, in the field, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how many of them are doing it, but the fundamental fact that we were dealt with was when we went, we were left with a position where the Paychex, which is the company that the Georgia Democratic Party used, they would not debit multiple accounts. They just wouldn't do it.
Any sense why? I mean, my guess would be they're much more worried about the IRS, making sure employees get paid on time, making sure the health benefits get taken care of, and real issues that affect real people. Not that what we do here doesn't affect real people, but it seems to me it's from the Paychex perspective, they're much more worried about getting people paid and making sure they don't have multiple accounts and all this other business.
Exactly.
No, it's crazy. I mean, I asked them that question, why can't you debit multiple accounts? And they literally told us that our system is just not set up that way. We cannot debit multiple accounts. They did say at one point, we can debit multiple accounts for the net pays, but we can't debit multiple accounts for the taxes. I think it comes down to their system and how it's connected with the EFTPS system with the IRS, mm-hmm. in which they're transmitting funds. Even if they were debiting multiple accounts for us, what they're going to do is they're going to pull it into one account and then debit to the IRS out of that one account. We have since, subsequent to the audit, subsequent to this, you know, audit period, Paychex acquired another payroll company like a year ago. That payroll company that they now own can debit multiple accounts. It's crazy. But Paychex, the parent company, still cannot do it.
Mr. Sandler, in your experience, was maybe flesh out why Paychex would take that approach as a practical matter.
Yeah,
I'm thinking IRS and health benefits and getting people paid. Is my instinct on that have any basis?
Yes,
in
I think the payroll company doesn't want to take responsibility for figuring out how much, you know, how much is supposed to come from one account, and they also want to be sure. I think as Paul indicated, the key is that they are going to make these be sure that the funds are all in one place to transfer to the IRS for the required withholdings and Social Security.
Take a hypothetical. Say your client had 10 employees, and say three folks were doing federal election activity, like more than 25% of their time. Say one of them was doing get out the vote, so you could use Levin funds to pay portion of that salary. Another six guys were doing generic stuff that was on the overhead split, and say you had one guy doing a governor's race and redistricting, so he's 100% non-fed.
Right.
So you go to payroll company and say, okay, we need to pay this guy out of this account, the non-fed guy. We got six guys on the split. That's at least two checks. Then you have the Fed, which is another check. Then you got the Levin Fund guy, which maybe is two checks, or who knows. So you have at least four checks minimum, maybe five. It seems to me, if I were a payroll company, I wouldn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole unless I absolutely had to. And if I'm Paychex, I don't have to because I get a lot of business. Now, maybe technology will catch up and they'll be able to do it in a way that not cause problems. But it seems to me when you have people, real people who are working, getting paychecks, not the company, but their paycheck and their health benefits and all that, you make a mistake. That's a big problem.
Yeah, absolutely. The company, the problem here is that you would be asking them to debit at least two accounts, the federal account for the allocable employees and the 100% federal employees and the non-federal account for the non-federal employees. That's where the confusion and uncertainty comes in. They're not going to do it. And of course, the state party did not have the option of, under the commission's rules, of running the non-federal payment, non-federal payroll through the federal account.
And none of this really is news to the commission, right? Because back in 2005, there was a rulemaking about payroll, and comments were filed, and which brought this to the commission's attention. And actually, it was your firm that filed the comments. And you said, quite candidly, that parties do these escrow accounts and the commission ought to clarify because people are doing them. So the commission had an opportunity then to say no, and it didn't say so. You recall those comments that you filed?
Yes. I mean, and again, the issue, to the extent that an escrow account is used as an allocation account, that was contemplated in the commission's rules. But to the extent that once the commission, effective beginning of 2006, created these three categories of payroll. And I guess the situation existed even somewhat before then, when if it was under 25%, it was 100% non-federal. That's when the issue arose, because you non-federal payments of 100% non-federal expenses, are not made from an account subject to the commission's jurisdiction. It's cut directly to the recipient, and that's where the problem ran in. We could not run that through a federal account.
It seems to me that commission's known about this practice for some time. The memo here, which you've seen because it's now part of what you get as part of the package, where the council opines that, as an initial matter, we believe the commission could determine that the committee's establishment and use of the payroll account was reasonable under the circumstances. They note it's a question of first impression. On the one hand, as you noted, the committee is correct that the payroll account at issue here was unlike an ordinary allocation account, and it contained non-federal funds to be used for the payment of non-allocable 100% non-federal expenses, and it goes on. But then, for whatever reason, here we are in an audit essentially making a decision on a case of first impression. For me, I don't see this as the proper place to do that, even if one wants to try to regulate this through some sort of disclosure. The commission's known about this, and to me, it seems like you made a judgment call that is wholly consistent with the regs, and we're searching for something to make it illegal, so the best we can come up with is the functional equivalent of an allocation count, which means it's not an allocation account. It means it's a functional equivalent, but that's not an allocation account, otherwise we call it an allocation account. Which brings me to my question, which is, in addition to the practical reality of actually trying to do payroll and how multiple accounts going to a payroll company could cause a mess for the people who actually work for the party, the reporting issue doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either, because there seems to be an assumption in here that there would be some additional reporting or whatnot for an allocation if this were deemed an allocation account. But my understanding, and maybe you could discuss this, is when you do something on what we call the split, you know, allocation, whatever word you want to use, two ways of doing it. You can pay with hard money and then reimburse the soft to make up the difference, or you can create an allocation account, move money to the account, it's a zero out account. But on the reports, there's no special schedule for all that. You see the transfers and the money moving around, which in your case is already on the reports. I don't see what additional reporting you could do, even if this were deemed an allocation account, other than reaching into the back door to get into your 100% non-federal, right?
Right, exactly.
So take that off the table. But to me, there's no special allocation reporting, and you know, I don't know how, you know, into the weeds you are in the reporting nuances, because a lot of folks don't actually do allocation accounts. They do the hard money and they transfer. But does this make sense? Am I on the right track?
Yes.
With
this? No, I think you hit the point exactly. The reporting that's recommended would actually create a lot more confusion and undermine rather than serve the purposes of public disclosure. This would be the only state party in the country reporting non-federal transfers through a federal account. At the end, right before the last paragraph on page 5 of OGC's report, it says, "We conclude the committee should be required to report all the payroll accounts activity, including the transfer in and disbursement of non-federal funds to pay salaries and related expenses that are 100% non-federal." There's two problems with that. It's directly contrary to the plain language of the commission's regulations, 102.5. And secondly, it, as you point out, this additional reporting they want to do with this and that and memo schedules and Schedule B, it would obscure rather than enlighten anybody that's used to reading state party reports as to what's actually going on. It would distort the actual transactions at issue.
Could maybe, I don't know if we can ask the staff questions, but the question I'd like to ask, Mr. Chair, before you decide whether it's in order, is, has this ever come up before in past audits? Not that we are good at knowing that, but maybe has this come up before?
We haven't found a case where the payroll issue came up before, but we have had cases where money was transferred from non-federal accounts to allocation accounts or federal accounts, and non-federal disbursements made therefrom. Dallas County Republicans comes to mind, as does South Dakota.
Sure, but that assumes that that's an allocation account subject to our jurisdiction.
It does. But in those cases, we ask for the same sort of disclosure that we've asked for here.
Okay. So I take that this really hasn't come up before. This is still by analogy. You're still trying to shoehorn this into being an allocation account. And once you assume that premise, then all flows from that. But I'm challenging that premise, which counsel actually, I think, persuasively argues both sides.
Right.
And the fact we can argue both sides, I don't understand why in an audit we're here essentially deciding a case of first impression on a state party that's made a, what even our own counsel concedes to be a reasonable read of the regs and a reasonable way to proceed. But that's just my two cents. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no further questions.
Commissioner Walther.
Thank you. As I understand it, though, Mr. Stoltz, it's the position of the Audit Committee that never, there's no way that one can actually pay 100% a non-federal employee through an account that has some federal money in it.
If this is either a federal account or an allocation account.
But let's forget the terminology. Let's just talk about the money. It's an account that has federal money. It has money. It has money to pay 100% federal employee. It has money to pay one that gets an allocation, and it has money to pay one that gets totally non-federal money. Now, whether you call it an allocation account or whatever you call it, we know that it's got a mix of three types of disbursements that are going to take place. Is that prohibited by a particular rule? I mean, I understood that it's the position of OGC that it is.
It's what the regulation says is that transfers from non-federal to any sort of a federal account are only for allocable expenses. Some of these are not obviously allocable expenses. We understood the committee's situation here with paychecks and said, okay, if you're going to do that, though, it should be disclosed.
Let me ask the Chamber of Horribles that we talked about having to comply in this particular case apparently now is resolved because you found a vendor, I guess a subsidiary now, the vendor that was causing the problem, Paycheck, that has decided, okay, for a sub, we're going to do this. How do they do this now for you?
We make a determination for each payroll period like we were doing before and decide, well, is this person over 25%, 100% federal? Is this person under 25% on the split? Or is this person non-federal? And then we will, when we process payroll, which happens to be today, we send to the payroll company each individual's pay and make a determination as to which account this person's pay for this pay period, which could change next pay period, right, is going to be debited. I think it's...
So the money all goes into their account from two different accounts that you have, and they then write the check? Or how does it work?
This committee now debits approximately four accounts depending upon whether they could be a coordinated campaign account or a state party account. I'm presuming, I don't know exactly what's happening on Paycheck subsidiary level, I'm presuming they draw from whatever those accounts according to how we tell them to do it, and it goes into probably one of their escrow accounts, and then they tell the IRS to debit these accounts for whatever amounts they've calculated based on our instruction. So I think it's important to understand the spirit in which we attempted to adhere to the regulations as they came down at that period of time, because we could have an individual who this pay period was paid on the 100% federal because they were over 25%. The next pay period, they could be different, and it was going back and forth and back and forth. even if we were telling the payroll company or they were willing to do what we were asking them to do, we would be filing paperwork with them every pay period, telling them, okay, now you can't debit this account, you got to debit this account.
Well, that's so what I we did. If that's what you're doing now, but I guess it isn't. In other words,
that is what we're doing now, because we set it up. We're like a department, and they're pulling from a department. But your payroll department this pay period may change to a different one next pay period as a result of you only doing 15% of federal activity during that pay period. But what we did do is we set up the payroll account as an escrow account, some in, some out, net gain zero. But when we filed the reports to reflect your pay or anyone else's, if you were 100% federal, we put it on the appropriate line. If you were on the split, we put it on an H-4. But we treated it, even though we sent one lump sum from the federal account to the payroll account, we did not disclose one lump sum and figured, all right, you guys figure it out. We itemized each one of those individuals for that lump sum, so that if we had five people that were 100% federal and 15 people that were on the split, the total amount of money for each one of those individuals and their payroll taxes that were sent to that particular payroll account, it matched dollar for dollar as if we had paid at 100% federal for the net pays and the taxes and itemizing each individual. So I think in the spirit of the regulations, we made every attempt to, you know, provide as much information as closely as we could for the public record so everybody understood. I would agree with Joe that if we were now required to include all those non-federal to non-federal payments, it would confuse the heck out of everybody at this point. It probably confused me because it was so long ago.
Thank you. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, just a comment. I'm sure you remember, Joe, that this was before my time, but the commission initially tried to make your life simpler, tried to have just two categories of payments, either it was going to be federal or non-federal, depending on whether the particular employee was above or below the 25% threshold, and that got thrown out in court, and that's what prompted the 2005 rulemaking, which I was here for. But to the extent that life is complicated, it is a creature of the law, which is complicated, and that's unfortunate, but it is what it is. The question, and just for my own edification here, because I want to get this right for your client, that's important, but I'm also trying to get a sense of the scope of the problem here, because I thought I heard some discussion that, you know, this was a problem that might affect a lot of folks, but on the other hand, I thought I heard you say that you would be the only person, the only entity that would be reporting in this particular way. So is this something that uniquely affects this party committee for some reason, or is this a widespread problem?
Let me clarify that. There are a certain number of, I guess, party committees that do have escrow accounts where the payroll company will only debit one account. In those situations, the party committees have reported, right, the same way that the Georgia Democratic Party. When I said it's the only one, it's because of the result of this audit, they would be, you know, they would be the only one reporting this way.
One thing that stood out to me when reading, especially OGC's memo, was the catch-22 that you found yourselves in the post-BCRA, well and after the 2005 rules came into place, that if you would if you were to pay payroll expenses for 100% non-federal employees out of your federal account, you couldn't then make a transfer of non-federal funds back into your federal account to make you whole. But conversely, if you were to try to make these payroll payments out of your non-federal account, obviously you can't make federal ineligible expenses with non-federal funds. So what were you to do? And the arrangement that that you set forward, as this memo concedes, there's nothing in the rule books that says this was this was illegal, and it is a matter of first impression. And I'm assuming that this payroll account or transmittal account, whatever we want to call it, the amounts that you transferred into this account, I guess presumably you could have transferred those directly to Paychex if they operated that way. Is that?
Well, again, if they were willing to debit the federal account and the non-federal account, mm-hmm. then that would have solved the problem, because the federal inallocable payments would come out of the federal account, and the 100% non-federal payments would come out of the non-federal account, as you say, directly to Paychex. That's precisely what they were unwilling to do. They were unwilling to debit more than one account.
And since we're using the phrase functional equivalent, in some ways this really was, setting up this account was the functional equivalent of providing a way so that you could debit two different accounts, so that in many ways this is like sending a check directly from the committee directly to the vendor, so that they could then process the payroll, because this wasn't for any other purpose other than providing for payroll expenses. And
exactly.
So just to make sure that I understand correctly how this works, so every month you make an estimation for all of your employees about whether or not they're going to be paid 100% federal, whether they're going to be on a split, whether or not they're going to be 100% non-federal according to their activities of that month. That money then is transmitted from the respective operating account into this transmittal account, and then that I don't know how long in advance, but then that's drawn out, and then the payroll checks
with
are made.
One critical exception that's central to the decision here, which is that in the case of those employees who work more than zero but less than 25% of their time in any given month on federal election activity or activities connected with the federal election, and therefore their salaries to be allocated, the allocation was made by transferring from the non-federal account to the federal account, okay. precisely as prescribed in Part 106. There was no allocation taking place in the payroll account.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's one thing that you did say that caught my ear is that there was no estimation in terms of what got transferred, because the process when it occurred is, okay, we send the data to the payroll company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they send us back the report, and they tell us, here's how much money we need, and we got to have it by tomorrow. Then we would make the transfers to the payroll account, broken down, like I said, to the penny, mm-hmm. exactly how much money from the appropriate account was needed to equal up to the total amount that they're going to debit the next day. So there was no estimation. It was precise, and it was exactly what they needed from each particular account to equal what was needed that they were going to debit the next day.
Okay. Commissioner McGann.
Thank you. On that point, I guess unlike consultants where you're going to guess what they're going to do in the future, the next month, employees, you're paying them for what they did for the past 2 weeks. So you know whether it was FEA
right. exactly.
or not, or 100%
right.
non-fed, right? You're not, so that you don't have to estimate. You can know it. Just this kind of follow up to Commissioner Weintraub's question, make sure I heard the answer right. Folks use escrow accounts. It's somewhat common. It's not necessarily that everyone in the world's doing it, but it does happen. But the what makes this different is this committee, if you were to comply with how the auditors want you to report, would force you to report things that no other state or local party, I think, is reporting, right? Because you're doing the H-4. Everything's showing up but for the non-Fed that you're running through the escrow account, right? So that's what separates you. It's not that this is you're the only committee doing it the way you're doing it. You'd be the only committee doing the reports if you did it the way the auditors wanted you to do it. Is that correct?
That is correct, and we also believe, and Paul can elaborate, that it would be a distortion of what's
right.
what's really going on. People aren't used to seeing the non-federal money in the federal account. I think the audit division wants the money in this payroll account to be reported as cash on hand, even though it's no longer on hand. I mean, it just creates a distorted view of the actual financial situation of the committee.
I think folks are surprised when they read state and local party reports that I think they expect to see all of this spelled out, but it's not. You have to actually follow the transfers and follow the money, and that's just the way it is, because the federal government can only go so far, and the non-federal side has its own deal, and states have reports and all.
Exactly.
So it's kind of a myth that there's some magic way to report this. It would be more confusing than not, which I think is your point. But picking up on something the chairman was wrote he was going down. The functional equivalent idea, it's by saying it's a functional equivalent allocation account, it's not an allocation account, but it is more a functional equivalent of just a pass-through. And the question I would have, it's probably more for the auditors, is hypothetically, let's assume that this state party, instead of setting up the escrow account within the party structure somehow, had the account set up and the payroll company could draw directly, and they had the sole signature authority. Would that change your recommendations here?
Let me make sure I understand the question. Are you saying if this was an account of the vendor as
right.
opposed to an account of the committee? of the committee, right. I think if it's an account of the vendor, we have a different situation.
Okay.
This is a committee account. It's not a vendor account. And one of the things Mr. Sandler pointed out was the media thing, but those are vendor accounts.
They are, but they're not, right? Because you do get credits, and when the inventory gets messed up and you get make goods, it's still the client's money, and the client can move money in and sometimes take money out, even in media accounts. I think that's right. Right, Mr. Sandler? Is that
right. It's an account of the vendor, but, there are contractual rights that the client has.
Right. It's not like you just hand the money and it goes away. What I'm saying in my hypothetical here, I'm suggesting that that's what the party does. They give the money to the vendor, but they place it directly in the vendor's account. The vendor can take it out on the vendor's end to make payroll, and I understand your position to be that would change your recommendation. Let's change the hypothetical. Let's assume the party also maintains a signature authority on it, either through contract or just at the bank. So it's essentially a vendor account and a party account. It's kind of a hybrid. Would that change your recommendation?
I think we'd have to consider that. I don't know if we've ever seen a situation where it's whose account is it?
Okay. Where I'm going, I looked at the chart Mr. Sandler provided, and the arrows, which way the arrow points, I think is telling, because the way I read the chart, all the money flows, and I see how the federal account, how your non-fed reimburses, I guess that's what that arrow is going sort of up. But all the money leaving the federal and non-federal account, the arrows point one direction, that's to the payroll account. One concern I've read in some of the memos is the idea that you may be using non-federal money for federal elections, and this could be a way to do that and hide it from the public. But in this case, does the arrow ever go the other direction? There's no evidence of that in this audit,
ever.
Is there?
Yeah.
Where the money left the payroll account went back to the party?
No.
So once it moves to this escrow account, it's in every instance, it's gone to the payroll account, and then it goes and gets to the payroll. So in this case, there's no money moving back. There's no evidence that there was any sort of circumvention or any of that here, right?
And we made strong efforts to make sure that never happened for the very same reason that you're describing now. I mean, and to take it even a step further, there are, say, payroll processing fees. To break out a payroll processing fee based on each one individual and how they got paid, we're not even going to bother. We always paid the processing fees out of the federal account, even for the non-federal employees, just to go that extra step. But we never moved money in the opposite direction. You're absolutely right.
It's a
one-way street. The only way we did it was an allocable transfer out of the non-federal account. We never made any.
I don't see that as really any different as a practical matter than my hypothetical where the vendor has the account. Because if the money's not flowing back, it seems to be the same kind of thing. Distinction am I missing?
Purpose of this discussion, it's important to remember that we did have the discussion when we were deciding whether to do this or not, whether political CFOs would establish one of these accounts. But quite frankly, we were not in a position, nor do we want to take that liability on for several clients,
getting multiple checks from multiple clients because of the liability.
Well, we've contemplated doing it as wire transfers, but that doesn't mean the money's going to hit your account and then the next day the payroll company hits my account and guess what? They're not good for it. it was not a situation that we were financially prepared to take on, and we couldn't do it. So we were left with this alternative situation.
But the point you make, Commissioner McGann, is essential to the analysis here, and that the allocated, in terms of the allocated payroll, you see the arrow from the federal account to the payroll account, at that point, it's all federal funds.
Right.
That's a check or a wire transfer, 100% from the federal account. There's no mixing of funds, as is implied in the OGC memo and the audit report in this payroll account. The only use of the 100%, the funds coming from the non-federal account in that payroll account is at that point to pay for 100% non-federal expenditures. That is, those employees that worked 0% that month or non.
And there's no dispute on that, right?
There is not. No.
The math all adds up.
Right.
In this case, okay.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Just following up on that line, and I think you've said this before. I just want to confirm it. So all of the allocation that is going on is going on basically the left side of your chart.
Exactly. Yes,
between
right,
your non-federal account and your federal account, and that is being reported.
Exactly.
And it all happens before all the money gets into this payroll account.
Exactly right. That's okay. Exactly the point, thanks. Commissioner.
Commissioner Walther.
The non-federal account, though, I'm just trying to understand the concern or the policy that's behind the prohibition of, I don't call it mixing or allocating, but having one account hold money for a salary for a totally non-federal employee. As I understand it, there were two problems. One, you didn't want to do it because you felt it was none of our business. I understand that. But the second was, according to the OGC, Audit Division, you can't do it.
Correct.
But as I understand the reason, I'm trying to think of the policy going forward. Here I'm not uptight about what happened here because I think there's no question here that you tried to do the best you could under the circumstances, and there's not a concern about slippage or anything like that. So we're just trying, for me, it's going forward now. You're complying with the technical clumsy rule that we have, but for others and people in the future, if we say it's no problem, how do we satisfy the concerns of our audit division, who I understand want to be able to take a look and say, all right, where did this money came from that was sent to allocate, sent for patient, for employees that received allocated funds? Where did it come from? How can we get to that? And then I thought, well, all right, could you just report the payroll account, what you call the payroll account, and some call it the escrow account. And I do see the point being made and asked earlier. If this was just the vendor's money and you just sent the check to them, there wouldn't be, in theory, any issue here. Because somehow you've got to be able to write a check for both types of employees, all three types. But if you just reported the payroll account and didn't report anything other than the portion that was for full federal employees and for allocated employees, could there just be some note that said there's a non-federal employees portion not reported or something like that, and then leave your ability to not have to report either the amount that was in the account, perhaps, or so to, you don't have to report the amount of non-federal employees that you have, but also have to report, you know, how much that was this, but still allow audit in a case to go in there and find out where that money came from, that allocated
but
money.
But to the extent, that, Commissioner, that the money came from the non-federal account, that's something that would never be reported to the commission, and 100% from the non-federal account for 100% non-federal disbursement, that's something that would never be reported to the commission in the first instance. And that's why we respectfully suggest that the concerns of the audit division you identify are misplaced, because everything that's normally reported is reported here. The activity, the federal account, the transfers to the non-federal, to the federal for allocable activity, it's all reported as if it would exactly would be as if this payroll account situation never existed.
I think the other problem that you run into in that particular situation is that if you are excluding certain transactions from this account, yet you are determining that this is a account that is a federal account and needs to be reported, it becomes almost impossible to report an accurate cash on hand number. If you were to look at our reports for that period and you pull out this payroll account, the cash on hand numbers, according to the auditors, essentially were dead on, then if you put them back in and you're reporting it, you would then be obligated to report your cash on hand as an accurate number if you're pulling out or withholding information or transactions that are 100% non-federal in nature. You're never going to get a handle on this.
I was just trying to think of a way to not unduly hamper those that have the ability to pay out of only one account, and yet somehow figure out a way to comply with the policy that exists for the prohibition from doing that. Maybe Mr. Stoltz, do you have any thoughts on going forward here? How somebody in their position with paychecks, one payroll account, could properly report and satisfy your auditing needs?
Well, I think it all goes back to whether or not we view this as an account on the federal side or on the non-federal side. If it's on the federal side, then I think we in council agreed that it needs to be reported, and we provided a way to report the non-federal only transactions sort of separate from everything else to avoid as much confusion as possible. If it's a non-federal account, then there is another list of issues. Or is there a third category of account that is really neither or a hybrid? If there is, and it's decided that works, then I think the way the committee reported it is fine. But if it's a federal account, then we need the additional disclosure.
I think the trap that puts us in, or anybody in that makes that discussion, is that it's like if it's not non-federal, it must be federal. If it's not federal, it must be non-federal. Our argument is it's neither, because we did not report, frankly, any of those transactions in and out of that payroll account on the state report either. It was entirely off the map based on our assumption that it was treated as an escrow account. It doesn't belong in either place, therefore we didn't put it in either place.
It's not non-federal in the sense that it's beyond the commission's jurisdiction, and that's definitely our position.
Commissioner McGann.
So if you did report the way audit suggests, you'd be artificially inflating your federal cash on hand because you'd be pulling non-federal money
Absolutely.
Into the federal side. That'd be an interesting political trick.
Well, and
there's
the
probably
other
some state parties that would sign up for that. They can count both sides.
Exactly.
And the other thing is based on the calendar with respect to the payroll draws. The money gets moved before the people get the check. So if the calendar were to align, say, on a pre-general or just any particular payroll day, you may have this huge cash on hand that really is artificial because it's
payroll
because
bubble.
It's fleeting. It's
right.
Like a 24-hour period. And I have to tell you that, for the four clients that we were doing payroll for in 2008, we were doing over 650 people. On any given payroll day, you're talking $5-6 million that 24 hours in and out. I don't think that's really something we should be disclosing for the public record because it's unreal. It's unrealistic. It doesn't really, depending upon the state, there may be huge sums of money that are being passed through for 100% non-federal individuals. It happens. I don't see how it helps the public.
And I guess going forward, this is really getting far afield, but to sort of pick up where Commissioner Walther was going, with payroll, you're doing all your allocation and splits and transfers long before it hits this whether it's a payroll account, escrow account, holding account, pass-through account. To me, that's all synonymous. We're all calling it the same thing. And it's not flowing back into the party, so you're not backdooring soft money into federal elections. That doesn't mean all holding accounts are going to be treated that way, and this really isn't a question that has anything to do with this audit report, but just going forward, let's say postal accounts or media accounts, you don't want a situation where a party fronts, hard and soft into a postal account, and then the mail vendor polls on it when really it was supposed to be volunteer mail. It should have been all hard money. That could be a concern. Media the same way. You may end up, your media vendor may put the buy money all in the same account and draw, you know, and then you have a problem. You don't want a vendor fronting money for you. That could be an impermissible in-kind, corporate perhaps, if they're incorporated. But that sort of activity is different than this sort of pass-through, right? I think it's going forward, if we're going to talk about this more, about letting people know what they can and can't do, to me, I think that is probably the sort of distinction we would need to draw. But before I just do that, I'd like to give Mr. Sandler an opportunity to see if that seems to be analytically a place to distinguish payroll accounts and routine pass-throughs with something that actually has a little bit more meat on the proverbial bone of hard money versus soft money and using the wrong kind of money in connection with federal elections.
Well, I think so. I think it depends. Again, if it's not, the issue is whether it's money that needs to be accounted for. And in the Part 106 regime, that's really should be the test for whether it's an account that has to be, you know, that has to be reported.
Yeah, I think it's, I would expect such a restriction if we were able to do it in the future or if it was deemed appropriate. And along those lines, we never conducted any other activity in that account other than payroll activity, be it net pays, benefits, payroll processing fees. There was nothing else mixed in with that money. It was always payroll.
And with payroll, you know, to a metaphysical certainty almost, that you have the right amount of money in the account. It's not a grab bag where you're guessing and then it's all worked out. The math all works out.
Very precise. It's prices as to the penny.
Otherwise, the IRS would let you know it's not to the penny probably on the withholding and whatnot. It should be to the penny, yes.
Well, yeah, and a good portion of that is trust fund money, and you got to pay it, and you better make sure the money's in there when they go to grab it. Otherwise, now you're putting the committee is at risk with the IRS.
If you have a retirement account, you know, a 401k or whatnot, you get that wrong, that's a big problem for your employees.
Absolutely.
And for the committee, but for the employees, which ultimately is the purpose of having a holding account so the employees get paid, I guess. But thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions from commissioners? General counsel, any questions?
Mr. Chairman, we have no questions.
Staff director's side?
No more questions.
All right. Mr. Sandler, would you like to make any closing comments?
No, I think we've had a thorough opportunity to present our views, which we very much appreciate, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you very much for your presentation and for answering all of our questions.
Thank you.
This hearing is adjourned.